Hey, he's never seen me, you know. And half the time I raise my hand, you know. Make sure you get a little gift, and inside that visitor packet is a card and a pen. And I want you to pull it out and begin to fill it out. And when we get to receive tithes and offerings, please bring it up or send it with somebody. Amen. Amen. Well, with that said, why don't we clap our hands for tithes and offerings? Amen. Now, as you know, the reason that I encourage you to clap your hands, which I believe is very, very important, is because you need to know why we give. A couple of weeks ago when I was here, and I've been gone for a couple of weeks ministering, I begin a little study that I want to just continue with you guys on that's just simply titled 10 Reasons Why We Give. Why do you tithe? Why do you give an offering? Why are you know, and those kind of things. And really, you need to know why. I think it's real important. And the very first thing that we learned was that it's important to honor the Creator. I mean, we need to honor a God that created us in the image of Him. And he set up this system. Listen to me, everybody. He set up a system called sowing and reaping. And if you ever get into that system, any businessman knows that in order to produce a product, there's got to be some sowing into it. And then there's got to be a time of reaping so that the product can get paid for and then a profit to be made. Nothing wrong with that. God really set that up from the very beginning. And you've got to understand that. So when you're given to God, just in appreciation and honor, why do you do that? Well, the very second thing that you need to know is that we need to honor and acknowledge our heritage. That's a good reason that you give. You're honoring our heritage. Well, what is that? I'm glad you ask. Galatians, if you have a Bible, Galatians chapter 3. I want to show you just a couple of things. Galatians chapter 3. And here's what the Word of God says in verse 29. And if you be Christ's, or if you belong to Christ, or in Him who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs. This is the Amplified, by the way. According to the promise. In the King James, it just simply says, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now think about that. All of you that are born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, listen to me. That means something to a believer. Number one, you're the elect. We'll talk about this today. In a message. Number two, you're an heir of God. All the promises that are yes and amen in this Bible are yours because you're a son or a daughter of God. There's a benefit for being a son or a daughter or an heir. Matter of fact, God says it like this, that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So if He's the Lord of your life, every promise that God gave Abraham belongs to all of us. The land, all the cattle on 1,000 hills that God owns. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. The point being is if you'll ever get in God's system, in His economy, I'll show you a man or a woman that owes no one but to love Him. You'll finally end up getting out of debt so you're not controlled. You'll start being able to have an abundance to help people that's in need, especially in the season that we're approaching now. There's a lot of people that cannot afford the gifts and things like we do. And so when you give, Man, that anointing causes God then to cause the harvest to come back to a giver. That's why we need to acknowledge the Creator. Thank you, God, that He gave us a system where, man, we don't have to be depressed any longer. We don't have to work 16,000 jobs trying to get by. No, just get into God's economy and the favor of God to come on you. And this is not a message just to try to get money from somebody, because God's not trying to do that. I don't take a salary at this church. So I'm not trying to get it from you, but I'm here to tell you God's trying to get it to you. But He cannot get it to you, remember, until He can get it through you, because we got to be sowers. And so that's why we give. That's the reason people give to God. Not just to build these buildings debt-free. Thank God for that. I'm not going to borrow any money to build. We're going to trust God. So get in His economy and acknowledge your heritage of being a son of Abraham. But more than that, a son of God Almighty. Amen? So come give with a big old shout of praise in that bucket and this bucket. If you're a visitor again, put your visitor card in there. Just gives us a little opportunity to thank you one time. And if you have any questions about our church or prayer requests, then let us know about them. We'll get a prayer team to pray for you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory. You ready? Come on. Come on up here. They didn't tell me. I'm glad you're singing. Would y'all welcome Janet as she ministers to us in song?
I'm so glad to be here today. This church is doing a study on Tuesday nights about the blood, about the shed blood of Christ. And I hope, especially this season, that we can start to understand the power of the shed blood of Christ. It can meet every need in your life. It can heal you, save you, deliver you, set you free. If you know this song this morning, it's "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power," and just sing it with me. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, oh, way back on Calvary, oh, the same blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Y'all stand up and praise the Lord with me now. To the Lord.
Jesus. It's power. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let me help you down.
I got this.
I'd give you a piggyback ride, but ain't no sense in that. Amen. Hey, with a big round of applause, Kids Church and Youth Group is dismissed right out the back end. Amen. Come on, give them a hand, y'all. Give it to them. Give them a high five on the way out. Corey's like, yeah, take them. Yeah. Corey showed up to drum this morning. He had his two kids and said he was the bachelor, you know, without his wife, taking care of. And I'm telling you what, he did a good job braiding hair. Or did she do that herself? Yeah, you don't have none yet. Thank you, Lord. How many brought your Bible? You see all the Bibles. Just raise them up. Let me see your Bible. Put up your phone. That's fine. So, amen. I want you to always bring your Bible and get into that word with us. If you have your Bible, I want you to begin to turn to Colossians chapter 3, and then we'll start this broadcast. Get everybody at Colossians chapter 3. So, if you get to Corinthians, you keep going, and you go to Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, and then right after Philippians, you'll find Colossians. And if you go to Thessalonians, the T's in the Bible, you've gone too far. Amen? And I want you to turn to chapter 3 and say amen when you get there. Okay, now let's start this broadcast. And now, if y'all know, on the, what is it, the 16th? 17th of December, we're going live. And that's going to be neat, because there's going to be a lot of people watching from all over the country. That's, as I travel, dozens and dozens and dozens of people, hundreds, want to know, you know, how they can listen to me and to this church on a Sunday. And then a lot of you that are traveling, you'll be able to just get on your phone and download. And I heard that, are we still having a few issues with getting on the internet here? And so we'll make sure that that's corrected, because what we've done is we've allowed all of you to get on, but not, you get on one part of our system. And then the crowd out there that is downloading it and getting on it live is on a different system, so that the people in the church that's looking at it on their phones or whatever are on the internet. It's not going to take all the data or whatever it is. And so we're pretty excited that we're getting all the bugs, all the kinks out. And so be ready for that. Amen. But I want y'all to be excited now, because people are going to be watching that need a little bit of excitement, not another dead church service. Amen. Come on. And so so get excited to know that people are going to be able to receive from our church from all over. Germany, a lot of people, I mean, just wherever they can get to us, they're going to be able to. And so, on the count of three, a big round of applause right now for the listening audience that gets to download these messages. Go. Amen. Well, let's get started. I'll just start with this question. And it's to every single one of us, at the sound of my voice, and to, you know, the world, really. They need to answer this question. You ready? What does God think about you? You have to answer that question, y'all. What does God think about you? I could probably go across this crowd here and the people that are listening, and I could probably ask them that question. We're going to have 100 different answers to the question. What does God think about Corey Ross? What does God think about you? I'm sure some people, well, he probably don't think much about me because I did some bad things back when, you know. And people go there, y'all, constantly. They're not good enough. Why did I have to go through this situation? Is God mad at me? I mean, there's a lot of times that people think these kind of things. Why am I going through this? Why did God allow that? And then sometimes it's, why did God cause that? God gets the blame for a lot of things. And I want to tell you this morning that God's not the source of anything bad. Say amen to that, y'all. But there's a devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we've established that in this church pretty much every Sunday. There's a devil. He doesn't like you. He doesn't want you to have success in any way. Matter of fact, he wants you to lose at everything. He wants you to be mad. He wants you to be offended. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to lose control. He wants your emotions to control you, see. Because if they do, that's how he gets you. That's how he gets us, right? Because, man, if you can just blow it. And we're going to have a lot of opportunity over Christmas, and we probably had the opportunity over Thanksgiving, family coming in or us going to see family to, you know, I mean, to not have really a good time with a couple of those crazy aunts. Is there anybody that's got any crazy aunts in here? Or are you the crazy aunt? Yeah, that's me, man. My wife raised her hand. She's got a crazy aunt, you know. It's fun. She's fun, man. I love her. But listen, we need to know what God thinks about us. And so let's read in Colossians chapter 3 what God actually thinks about us. Verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. What does God really think about you? Well, really, when you read this scripture, you'll find out that God personally summoned you to know him. I mean, he wants every single one of us to know him. Matter of fact, God said, I want you. Now, I'm talking about people that are born again. You see, and that's, he's got a desire for all people to be born again. But the ones that give their hearts to him, man, he wants that. He wants to know you individually, praise the Lord. He said things like, I'm calling you out of a lost world because you belong to me. Thank God for God. And I think it's important that we speak that to ourselves every day. So again, let's read this scripture and let's dissect it. Let's get a little bit deeper into this word so that we know exactly what God thinks about us. Because if you get a hold of this message this morning, it can change your life totally. Just getting a hold of what God thinks about you. Now, so let's read it again, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now, let's stop there because it's vital and important to know what God thinks about those whom he redeemed. Then, when we understand that God redeemed us from the curse of the law, then we've got to get it down into our hearts. So again, listen very carefully to what God is saying here, because if we let it sink, and I'm talking about letting it sink way deep in our hearts, it's going to give us the power then, I believe, to transform the way we think about ourselves. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So how you think about yourself is how you're actually going to be. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we've got to start figuring out, what does God think about us that we can then cause it to transform and go from the mind down into the heart to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's look at this word, elect. Because you notice it says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Well, I just did a little word study on elect. And here's what it means in the Greek. Out I say. Or in other words, he loves us so much that he called us out. And I think it carries this idea that we're personally chosen by God. In other words, when he saw you, he called you out. That's why the Bible says it's the Holy Ghost that draws all men unto him. When you understand that, if you're born again, God literally said, you, sir, are called out. You're called out to receive this resurrection power, man. I want to call you, Corey, out. Because you, sir, are the elect of God. Now think about that, because most people can't see themselves as the elect of God or a king, even though we serve the king. But really, you're a king, man. And you're a queen in the presence of God. In his knowledge about what he says you are. How he thinks about you. He thinks of you as a king. But because of sin, because of the fall, we don't ever see ourselves that way a lot of times. Because of the way we look. Because of the mistakes that we might have made back yesterday. And it then develops an image of ourselves that the devil wants us to meditate on, so that we really don't see who we are in Christ Jesus. So here God's saying, elect, ma'am. I can look at every one of you. There's the elect. Judge, the elect. Constantly, the elect. Seeing people how God sees them. So, if it carries the idea that we're personally chosen by God, you can literally translate this word elect to elected or selected. And I'm telling you, when you understand that you were selected by God Almighty, it ought to mean something to a believer in Jesus Christ. Come on. But look at this next word, because it says put on holy. And let's just talk about this one word, holy, because probably next week I'm going to deal with some of these other things. But right now let's talk about just the few of these things we have understood that we're the elect. Does everybody agree with that? Now, if you're not saved and born again, you need to get saved. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to stop messing around, clowning around, and start giving your life to the Lord Jesus. And then when you give your life to Jesus, then you start finding out who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why you come to church. That's why you go to Bible study. That's why you see a minister that you like and can receive from on TV, and man, you dig into it, you see. But I'm here to tell you Man, when you find out who you are in Christ, then there's no devil in hell that can get you down. There's no one that then can convince you what the devil's trying to convince you of, that you're not worthy. All those things. Y'all know how I feel about that, right? I mean, you only have to come to this church for just a few months to find out how I feel about people saying we're not worthy. Because I just dislike hearing someone say, I'm not worthy. Now, before Christ, we're not worthy, right? But after you give your life to Jesus, you don't have to say that any longer. It really is a false humility when someone says, you know, brother, I'm not worthy. And I understand, just because of bad teaching, we grew up, grew up in churches constantly hearing those things. You know, you're just not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. And then I found out, you know what? I am worthy. Because of Jesus. Without Jesus, I'm not worthy. But with Jesus, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Remember? No, I'm the elect. I'm the elect of God. I'm chosen out amongst the crowd. See, that's what God's trying to say to us. And then he says this, to put on holy. And I looked up that word and it described awe. I mean, think about that. When God says, put on it. I mean, get it on, brother. Now, I'm not talking about just the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and those kind of things. No, I'm saying put on holiness. I'm telling you, it's the worst trick of the devil that's caused Christians not to understand holiness. Well, you know, brother, we all fall short of the glory of God. I heard that growing up. You know, we all make mistakes and sin. Yeah, we might. But it don't have to have dominion and power over us believers in Jesus Christ. I mean, we ought to get back to some good old doctrine, Bible believing preaching, so that we understand that we are to put on holiness. You know why people don't put on holiness? Because every time they make a mistake, they feel guilty and condemned by the devil. Well, not when you understand that you're elect of God and called out amongst the crowd. You are elected and selected by God himself. When you understand that, then you don't use all the excuses. Well, you know, brother, I'm not perfect. Well, yeah, we know it, but you're trying to attain perfection. That's what the Word of God says. But what we've done, and I'm talking to me right here, what we've done, is it okay to talk to me? Is we grew up with this religious garbage that we're not worthy, that we're all going to sin. It's just part of it. And I understand that. We all do fall short of the glory of God, but there's a time when we've got to put on holiness and know who we are as the elect of God in Christ Jesus. No. Don't think about sin, because sin can mess you up. The blood of Jesus that was shed for you and I covers the multitude of sin. Actually, you're already forgiven before you do it. There's some confession, though, that we got to do. What's wrong with us wanting to be holy? I'm not talking holier than thou. Forget that junk. That's not who we are. I mean, people see the humility that we walk in Christ Jesus, and we do make mistakes. But by golly, we are to learn from the Word of God and put on some holiness. What does that mean, though? It's again described awe. Respect. What's wrong with people respecting you? Because I got a lot of respect for everyone in here. You know why? Because Jesus is the Lord of your life. I think too many times, though, we as humans look at people in the eye of judgment instead of the way God sees us. Respect. Why? What'd he do? Well, he's got Jesus on the inside of him. Oh, praise God. I'd love that. Well, then someone with Jesus on the inside of them makes a mistake, like a preacher or someone up there on television. They make the mistake and they sin before the whole world. We saw that all growing up. And then what happens is that's all we see then. We don't see the man or the woman who they really are and how God sees them. We see them based on the sin they did back when. Y'all have heard the story of me, you know, raised in the Christian family. I mean, before my dad worked for John Wayne, he already knew there was a call on his life. And then I was born in 69. In 1970, he still worked on the 26 Bar Ranch in Casa Grande, Arizona, where I was born. But in 1970 is when he got his, what they call, license to preach. Went to Bible school. 1970. It was about 1990 that after he'd gotten that license that he went back to Rhema Bible School and got another one. Took those courses and classes. And so again, think about it. I was raised in the ministry. In Morenci, Arizona, my mom and dad led the worship at our church. The old church right on top of the hill, that big mining. Just that's all Morenci and Clifton were, just a copper mining town. Everybody worked at the copper mine, including my dad, by the way. I was raised in it. We went to church every day. I mean, there was something to do at church every day. About 13, went to as we finally moved to Texas in Odessa, where us three boys graduated Odessa High. We still, my mom and dad were ministers. They would either lead the singing at a church or they were pastoring it somewhere. We was raised this way all our life. At age 13, I knew there was a call on my life. It was at a Baptist Bible camp. Exactly where the place that I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me? Baptist. Amen. Bible camp. They don't believe that stuff sometimes. They've gotten freer, thank God. I went to college, had Bible study in my dorm room. I was raised this way, y'all. Love God. But then a trial and tribulation happened in my life, and it made me either turn towards God or turn away from Him. Most of you know, and that come to this church and have been coming for a while, for 2 years I went away from Him. I was raised this way, but I went that way. The party was at my house. As y'all know, I was going to college in Big Spring at a little junior college, and I lived at 605 Runnels, right downtown Big Spring, Texas. Do y'all hear me? I remember, after all these years, the address of that place. You know why? Because that's where we partied. On Monday, a crowd would come, and I'm talking not a little crowd. Good 50 plus. On Tuesday, different crowd. Wednesday, a different crowd. Thursday, a different crowd. And then, as y'all know, all of them, hundreds would come on Friday and Saturday. Matter of fact, one time I looked, and it was just a pier and beam house. I looked under the house, and it was bowed. There was so many people in there partying. And then on Sunday, since I was raised the way I was raised, we rested. Anybody out there? All those people knew me for 2 years this way. They had forgotten the before. After that 2 years, I got on my knees one day and I said, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, Lord. A lot of things happened when I did that. I won't go into it. The power and the hold of the devil on my life. But when I said, God, forgive me, some things happened. I've only told it one time. I won't tell it this morning, but I'm telling you, thank God there was a release. there was such a hold on my life. Now, I'm not saying I was possessed by the devil. I wasn't worshiping in him. I mean, I was living in that darkness. But, man, there was a hold. And he didn't want to let go, I'm telling you. Because he knew. He knew what was going to happen after I finally got on my knees and said, God, forgive me. I know better. I know better, sir. Forgive me. And I was released and felt the peace of God. Thank God. 7 years later, after I submitted my life back to the Lord, started doing a lot of ministry. Matter of fact, I did a first college rodeo back in Big Spring. How ironic that the parties was in Big Spring, but the very first service I ever did was back in Big Spring at a rodeo, college rodeo. And from that one service, the doors flew open everywhere. Still to this day, my calendar is booked over a year in advance to come preach somewhere. I mean, constantly God's using me out there and everything. A lot of times makes people mad here because I'm gone. But yet, please don't be that way because someone's getting saved out there. Come on, say it louder than that. Amen. 7 years later, though, a man walked up to me, friend of mine, businessman, and he said, I got to ask you to forgive me. I said, what? We're great friends. Yeah, but I asked you to forgive me. I said, what did I do? He said, wasn't anything you did, it was all me. But for 7 years, I've held a grudge against you because I was with you during those parties. I watched you do all of that, see. And now you're preaching on horseback or you're, we was doing a lot of church ropings where you had to come to church in order to rope for free. And so those cowboys would come everywhere not to have to pay an entry fee. So I'll go to church, man. Well, you can understand hundreds gave their lives to Jesus. We did it for years right out here in this arena until we transitioned over steer roping. A lot of team roping people got saved for years and years. That's why I did George Strait's church service for 20 years, a long time anyway. And just this last year, I gave it to another guy. And then George Strait decided to not do his ropings anymore. It might have been my fault. But I told Trey that, by the way. Yeah, I forgot to tell you. The point being is this guy was seeing me what he saw me for 2 years and not the way God saw me, you see. Now, I could have felt bad because he saw me that way and I allowed myself for 2 years to be that way. Or I could make a decision and put on holiness and find out who I really am in Christ Jesus and how God actually sees me. He does not see me for those 2 years of ungodliness. No, I'm still born again, going to heaven if something happened to me. Thank God. Might have went to heaven a little bit too fast. But thank God I didn't die. God did protect me. Thank the Lord. Why? Because he knew me and called me out, the elect of God, because he knew I was going to go minister to the uttermost parts of the world. Still made mistakes. Still do. But yet I still know who I am and how God sees me, which is very important because most people still see themselves of Corey Ross's 2 years of craziness, ungodliness, like the prodigal son, you see. That's why that prodigal son story is so important, that the father didn't see the boy as reckless and ruined his whole life, his inheritance with riotous living, hookers and prostitutes and all that sin. That's what the devil wanted the prodigal son to think about himself. No, God saw him like the father saw him, not as, come in. I'm so glad to see you. The best calf. Go get him. Put the robe on him, mama. Give him the best. Why? Because that's how God saw him, and that's how his true father saw him. Put on that holiness, man. It's described as all respect and reverence for a holy place. a place separated and set apart from other places. This is what happens when we put on holy. When we just put it on, we're separated, praise God. Separated, I wrote down, from the rest of the world and thereby sanctified and consecrated, which just simply means sacred, and made us holy. Or in other words, once we came to Jesus, the blood of Jesus separated us, consecrated us, and made us holy. What did it separate us from? Sin, you see. It separated us from sin. If you have a Bible real fast and you have it open and it's in your hands, then flip over real fast to Psalms. Let me see where we're going. Psalms 103. And just go fast. Psalms 103. I want to show you just some truths that, again, since we're trying to figure out what God thinks about us, and again, you need to get out any negative thoughts about yourself or how God thinks about you out of your mind and really know how He actually thinks about you. Look at Psalms 103 and verse 12. He separates us from what? Say it. Sin. Say it. Sin. Say it together, class. Sin. One more time. On the count of three, we're going to say sin. Is everybody ready? Morris, you ready? Say it loud in your little section over there, okay? We're separated from, one, two, three, sin. Understand that. We are separated from sin. Look at verse 12 of 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Now clap your hands. I mean, that's what I do. Oh, thank God for that. 2 years of craziness and God forgives me. No, He don't even remember it as far as the east is to the west. He remembers it no more. Think about that. That's putting on holiness, man. When you can just understand God separated us from that sin that's trying to dominate and have dominion over you and I. Now, all you got to do is go to Romans and tells you about that. That we're not, we don't, sin does not have dominion over you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ. No, put on holiness, man. Put on holy. The word holy means that God Himself respects you as a holy dwelling place for His Spirit, different from others. Matter of fact, so special, I had to write this down when I was studying it, so special that you are in a totally separate category from the rest of the world. Man, thank you, Jesus. Now listen to me very carefully. Don't take for 1 minute that we're better than someone. We're only talking about self. How God sees us individually, which then can cause us to start getting rid of all the negative junk like, you know, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm not tall enough, I'm too short. All those things that the devil tries to bring up against us. I'm not good enough. I didn't read the Bible long enough. I didn't pray long enough. And all those things that the enemy tries to get us to start thinking about ourselves. I don't know very much scripture. No, no, no. It don't matter if you know one, John 3:16. Thank God you know it. But when you put on holy, when you put it on beloved, then you want to start learning about who you are in Christ. Yeah, that's why you come to church and start inviting people. And we need to get this church filled up. I know we're a young church, but there's no reason for, I mean, we have 800 members when they all show up, usually Easter. And we'll get about 300-400, 250 on a Sunday morning, but really this church holds about 900 to 1,000 And there ought to be full in here. If we would just have the heart to know who we are, and they respected you so much because you put on holy, that they want to be like you. Well, now, wait a minute. I felt it in the spirit, man. The minute I said they want to be like you, I felt a lot of people's minds going back to sin. No, they won't want to be like me. I'm mean in the morning. They won't be like me. What do I got to offer? No, that's exactly why we're preaching this message. So you can find out who you are in Christ Jesus. That power, man. The power. Who are you? Who are you in Christ Jesus? Let me begin to close. When you put on holy, this is why we must do our best to live in obedience to God's word. Avoid grieving the Holy Spirit who resides on the inside of us. Flip over just to your left to Ephesians real fast. Ephesians and chapter 4. Look at this with me. Ephesians chapter 4. This is after he's already called the fivefold. You know, verse 11 gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. But flip over to verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I like the Amplified because it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you're sealed and marked and branded as God's own. We already talked about that because we're the elect, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consciousness of sin. And it goes on to talk about let all bitterness and wrath and all that stuff be away from you. And the point is we've got to do our best not to grieve the Spirit of God. If anything you do, or when you do it out of order, here's the great thing that I want you to do. When you do stuff out of order that can grieve the Spirit of God, not the excuse of we all fall short of the glory of God. If you did do something wrong, then understand that it's important that we confess our sin to the Father. Just confess it. Confess it to the Father. And what does the word say? You will be immediately and completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Say it. When you say forgiveness, God, I confess that sin. I know there's a scripture that says go confess it to your brother, but be careful with that. You better trust that brother so that it's not on Facebook. Hello? Anybody out there? No. I've only done it one time, and you know who I confess to? My dad, my father here on earth, because I could trust him. No, don't let this leave you, Dad. Keep it under wraps. You let this out, I have to kill you. I knew he'd go to heaven. What's the big deal? Now, Dad is in heaven, but confess it to the Father. And then immediately, thank God, you'll have that cleansing of the blood of Jesus. In other words, nothing has to keep its grasp on you. And then when someone tries to bring it up to you, no, I remember what you did in college. You just tell them, no, that's the old me. Amen. That was someone back when. I confessed that for my father, and he don't even remember it. Yes, people do remember it for a long time. Doesn't matter. You keep putting it on holy. So I want to end with this morning. I want to end with a declaration of what we need to say to ourselves. You ready? And I'll just close with this. This is how important it is to know what God thinks about us. That we have to say it. Okay? And so I want you to put your stuff down. And I want you to declare this. And I want you to declare it by faith. Say amen. I want you to declare what God thinks about you. And I want you to do it by faith. Remove all the doubt, all the fear, all the unbelief, all the sin that you did back when. Get it out of your mind, because this is really how God sees you as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning and Jesus is your Lord, well, I'll just tell you, I'll just do it like this. If you're not saved, I want you to get saved right now by confessing this prayer with all of us. We'll all confess this prayer, but so we're not going to embarrass anybody. But if you're not born again, I want you to confess this prayer. We're going to pray it with you, the ones that we know we're born again. We know that we're going to heaven when we leave this earth, but we know we can have heaven here. Amen? If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you've never confessed him, Romans 10:9. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, born again, okay? That's how you give your life to Jesus. If you're not saved right now, before we declare who you are in Christ Jesus or what God thinks about you, praise the Lord, I want you to get born again. So bow your head and pray this prayer, everybody in here. Ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of all my sin. This day is my God day because Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Say amen. Now look at me. I won't right now. I want to give you a Bible if you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you gave your life to Jesus, but not right now. I want you to declare this right now, because if you just gave your life to Jesus, this is how God sees you. If you've been born again since 1979, May the 10th, like me, this is how God still sees me, regardless of what I've done in the past. This is how God sees me, because I've put on holy. I am the elect, and so are you if Jesus is Lord. So declare this with me. Ready? I want you to say at the top of your mouth and lungs, I am holy. Jesus' blood separated me from my past. He wiped it out and cleared the slate. He threw my sin in the sea of forgetfulness and separated it from me forever. Now I am clean. I'm set apart. I am consecrated. And God Himself respects me as the temple of His Spirit. Amen. Now give God praise. Come on. Come on, y'all. That's really how the Father sees you and I. He does not see us in the blemishes that we are or have made. No, He sees us as the elect. And you've got to receive that, y'all. And if you will, it'll change your outlook on yourself. And you'll get delivered from problems, from addictions, from old tendencies, from anger, from all the things that are holding you back. Nah, forget about it and put on holy. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah, Lord. Thank you. Now, bow your head one time. Y'all already confessed the prayer, and you gave Jesus the Lord of your life. If you just did that for the first time, the only thing that I want you to do right where you're sitting, you don't have to come to the front, you don't have to do anything, but I want you to confess that Jesus is your Lord to the Father. The matter of fact, the Bible says it this way: if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. Amen. Now, you all just prayed that prayer. If you did it for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus this morning by confessing that prayer earlier, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up. I want you to let me see it and then just put your hand right back down. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to ever be ashamed of Jesus being the Lord of your life. If you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come in for the first time, again, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up, let me see it, and then just put it right back down. That's all you're doing, is you're acknowledging to me and God Almighty that you meant that prayer, and you're saying, hey, that was me. I gave my life to Jesus. You ready? One, with every bit of boldness, do it. Two, three, go. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I want to give her a Bible right here. Just, yeah. No one looking around, please. Thank you. I want to embarrass you. Thank y'all so much. Anybody else? You prayed that prayer. You gave your life to Jesus. Now you should know what God thinks about you according to the Word of God, not a man. Is there anybody else? Glory be to God. I'm going to do one thing just real fast. It's 11:58. Dallas is not playing very good, so it don't matter. Matter of fact, they already played. Listen to me. Heads bowed and eyes closed real fast. I'll do this and then we'll dismiss and go. If you haven't seen yourself as the elect, but now you just are wanting to declare who you really are in Christ Jesus, that you're not living by that past any longer, all I want you to do is take a step of faith. Not come down here, but I just want you to take a step of faith and let us believe with you that no sin will ever cause you to think you're separated from God anymore. So if you've been struggling just with the perception of how God sees you, the mistakes you might have made back when, and you're set free now because you've already declared it, if that's you, all I want to do is just pray for you, love on you. Just if that's you, stand up right where you're at and just stay right there. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. Just stand up. I just haven't seen myself as worthy. If that's you, just get up, man. I understand that. And don't be ashamed. I just want to add some agreement. Thank you all for standing. Really appreciate it. Now, if you're standing, just stick your hand over your heart. And let me pray for you. Father, from this day forward, every person that has their hand over their heart that just hasn't seen themselves how you have really see them, I thank you for the deliverance right now, that they know they're the elect starting right now. And Father, we just add our agreement to them that they're not going to live by their past any longer, not by their failures. No, they're set free from that right now. And we give you praise, sir, for a wonderful, gracious, awesome, loving, merciful, forgiving God. We love you, sir. And thank you, Lord, that they are the elect. And they know it. And no devil in hell can rob that from them. In Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen, everybody. Stand to your feet, would you? Just stand up. Did you have a good time this morning? Just a couple of quick announcements and we'll be dismissed. As y'all know, put on your calendar, our Christmas concert is on the 16th. Man, it's a great time. We'll try to get the ad up on the billboard. And Man, tell everybody. That's a big concert we do every year for Christmas. The kids sing. They do a play. Our band, we do a concert. We're already practicing. Matter of fact, the band is staying after just to rehearse. And so if y'all could just exit so you don't, I mean, we want you to be surprised and you don't have to stay here and practice with us. But we're going to practice. But the 16th, that's going to be a good time. Amen. So put it on your calendar. I believe it'll start at 6 with some goodies. And then, you know, as time progresses into 7, we'll start everything. The day before is our ornament exchange for women. And the ladies started this several years ago. It's turned into a huge deal. And so right here on the 16th, when does that start, by the way? Does anybody know? 6:30. And again, bring an ornament for the tree, and we'll just do some exchanging. They have a neat way that they do it. It's a lot of fun. And a fish? Oh, a dish. I was going to say a fish. That's awesome. That's really cowboy church, man. Fish around here for the women. Okay, bring a dish. Okay, at the back, Betsy. She's got her hand up. Y'all know Betsy. Would y'all go to her and just say what dish you can bring so we can get that organized? We have 9, and the same Betsy's going to tend to this, 9 angels left for the angel tree. So we already got, just in 1 week, we got about 50, and we only have 9 left. So if you want to help a little kid for Christmas, that's what that's for, then you can pick up that angel in the back and buy it, and she'll be able to tell you where to bring it back to. I think the deadline is December 15th. So you got a little time to go, and man, have a heart for a kid that's just not going to have much Christmas. Amen. Did y'all check out the? Do we have the app ready yet? When will it be ready? Do we know? Does anybody know? In a few months? Okay, that's longer than I thought, but yeah. Okay. Check out the website, wccowboychurch.org. Brand spanking new. Go to it. Don't do WC in a space. It goes to another cowboy church for some reason. WC, all one word, cowboychurch.org. And check out, I even put a special little a video, and all of you need to go watch it, okay? It will invite you to church. Amen? So check out the new website. Amen? All right. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just, again, a wonderful time in your presence. Father, thank you, Lord, that as we leave, as we always declare, you don't stay here, because the Bible says you never leave us or forsake us. So you get to go with us right now. So, Father, thank you. Thank you as we receive this message by faith in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Thank you for those 3 that gave their lives to you. If they don't have a church home, sir, I pray that they would make this their home. If people are visiting, God, thank you that people visit here. And if they don't have a church home, I just thank you, Lord, that they would pray that this could be their church home. Until Tuesday for Bible study, man, don't miss Bible study. We're preaching about the blood of Jesus at 6:30 on Tuesday, or until we get back next week. We love you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.
Western heroes, but I know they won't save the day when I stand before God's throne.